Professor King, Civil Procedures 11-1908, Podcast Number 9, Room 308.
I'm going to No. They're not happy about the actors. Sorry, actors
can't do anything about it.
Where is everyone?
I'm here.
But only the important people are here today, right?
It's the
weather. Is it because of what?
Freezing.
Cold?
People
still can't get out of bed when it's cold. I thought that was like a college thing.
Traffic was really, really, really bad. Really bad. I don't know why. It was really bad.
It wasn't bad for me, and I come from Connecticut.
Maybe people don't come from Connecticut a lot.
Well, I still have to come down 95 and the LIE and the...
Yeah, most people that are traveling are not traveling from that far.
I know.
So it's a different direction.
It is a different direction. I've been very fortunate. Did everybody get the attendance sheet from Monday?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, the majority of you did. Chris, what's your last name? Oh, you were saying no. Jessica, were you here on Monday? What's your last name? Yeah, you didn't sign. Do I have all the memos for today? Thank you. Just reiterate that if you're having problems with supplemental jurisdiction, I can't spend any more class time on it because you have to move on. But if you've gone through the problems in the book and our analysis in class, and if you've gone through Glannon and you're still having problems, please come see me. I'd be more than happy to sit down with you and work through some problems to make sure you get it, because it will be on the exam. Okay? So I want to make sure that you guys understand that. But I think there are some concerns about, you know, what Rule 14 is, what Rule 20 is, what, you know, all these rules are. And you will have a copy of 1367 at the exam, okay? Rest assured that I will, in the fact pattern, tell you, you will be sure as to which rule is being used for the joinder involved, okay? So it should be no excuse that you didn't know what it was, because it'll be right in front of you. Okay? Either way, I don't think it's absolutely critical to know what those rules are to analyze these problems anyway, because of what I explained on Monday. So, again, you'll have that in front of you in the question, and you'll have a copy of 1367 with you. So that should be very helpful. Okay, any questions? Ready to start removal? Okay. Yeah. On Erie. Okay. What about it? We haven't gotten there yet.
Oh.
Do you want to see your question until maybe it comes up when we address it? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let's take out our green books, or as the student suggested on Monday, you don't have to carry your green book with you to class and look online. But this is a required book. Next semester, we will use this every day. And I don't want it online, but I want it in front of you. okay? Because, do you know why? Because you can't write on your computer screen. You can't highlight on your computer screen. You can't do any of that on your computer screen. It's all right in front of you. So when you're reading rules and statutes, it's be critical that you're either taking notes next to them, circling in important words, or whatever you're going to need to learn these rules and these statutes. So if you don't have it in front of you now, it's fine. Look online. But this is a required book, and you need to bring it to class with you, okay? All right, let's take a look at 1441. 1441 deals with actions removable, generally, it says. Okay. First of all, who removes? Well, removal deals with a situation where the plaintiff chooses to file a claim in state court, right? Okay. Who removes the case to federal court? Shield. The defendant, 1441A, says that the action filed in state court may be removed by the defendant or the defendants. Okay, so it's always the defendant who removes, because the plaintiff chooses the forum. The defendant wants it to be in federal court, the defendant has to remove it. What types of actions may be removed to federal court? Chris. Very good. Those actions that the court, a federal court, would have jurisdiction over had the plaintiff chose to file there originally. And in the words of 1441A, any civil action brought in the state court of which the district courts of the United States have original jurisdiction, which we know means either diversity jurisdiction or arising under jurisdiction. Chris, where will the action be removed? If the plaintiff files a claim in state court, can the defendant move it to California federal court? Okay, where is it removed to? Yes, okay. So 1441 tells us that it will be removed to the district court of the United States for the district and division embracing the place where such action is pending. Okay. There is a special requirement for diversity cases where removal is based on diversity jurisdiction. What is that special requirement? All right.
Not if it's in your home state.
Say it again, and I know what you mean, but say it how you would say it if you were to write it on an exam.
If the defendant, if an action is brought based on diversity in the forum in which the defendant, I'm not sure if it's a citizen or resides. I believe it's a citizen. If he's a citizen of that state, then he doesn't have the option to remove it to federal court.
Okay. Very good. 1441B. If the district, which basically says that the district court has original jurisdiction founded on arising under, the action shall be removable without regard to the citizenship or residence of the parties. However, the next sentence basically says, if it's diversity jurisdiction, it can only be removable if none of the parties in interest properly joined and served as defendants is a citizen of the state in which such action is brought. Okay? So that means if any of the defendants in the state action are residents of that state or citizens of that state, they cannot remove it to the federal court in their home state. It must stay in state court. See some language in 1441 that kind of reminds me of the Rose case. Does it remind you guys of the Rose case? The last sentence in 1441A says, for purposes of removal under this chapter, the citizenship of defendants sued under fictitious names shall be disregarded. And then under 1441B, it says, only if none of the parties in interest properly joined and served as defendants. Remember in Groves that the issue was whether any of the defendants were real parties in interest or whether they were just nominal parties of interest or whether the plaintiff fraudulently joined them to avoid removal to the federal courts. That's exactly what 1441 is addressing. Okay. Yes, Jessica. What do you guys think? Citizenship of defendants sued under fictitious names shall be disregarded. Yeah, I mean, the way I read that, and I might be wrong, I might have to do a little bit of research on this, but the way I read it is just like a fictitious defendant. I mean, fictitious means made up, right? I'll have to look at it, but I think does everyone see that the purpose of excluding that, though? I mean, if you think about the purpose, then it helps you understand the rule. The purpose is to prevent the plaintiff from joining these fictitious defendants or these defendants who really have no real interest in a lawsuit, and so that the plaintiff can keep it in state court and bar it from the defendants from removing it to federal court. Because remember, one of the reasons that plaintiffs choose forums is because of favorable judges or favorable juries and state venues, for example. So if you think about that purpose, then that helps you understand the rule a little bit better. Okay? Yes.
If they're not crucial to the litigation, would they be taken off and then it would be removed, or could it be removed and they would stay on the complaint?
Very good question. If they're determined to be not real parties in interest, let's say, like in the Rose case, are they dismissed out of the case, or do they stay in the case and the case is removed anyway? Sheil. Jessica. Anyone else? Yeah.
So it's disconnected from the case. You said that they're not real parties in interest, right?
They're not. If the court says they're nominal parties in interest.
So yeah, if they're dismissed from the case, then it's removed.
Okay. Brian.
I think that you would have to still file a motion to dismiss on your own to the marriage.
Okay, very good. If there's a finding that the parties are just nominal parties in interest and not real parties in interest, those parties are disregarded for purposes of removal and for diversity of citizenship, not for anything else. So what happens is the entire case gets removed with all the parties intact. But believe me, if you're the plaintiff and the court has just told you that those aren't real parties in interest, you're going to be thinking of settling with those clients a little bit more seriously to get some money out of them, or writing the brief in opposition to a motion to dismiss for failure to state a claim or a summary judgment motion. Okay, because those defendants are surely going to fight the action to get out of it. But Brian is absolutely correct that they're still going to have to make a motion to dismiss to get themselves out of the case. Okay? Finding of a nominal party of interest doesn't get them out of the case. It just disregards their citizenship for diversity purposes. Okay. What if this is the case? What if the plaintiff brings in state court an action? Let's say, my favorite example, plaintiff has been wrongfully terminated, alleges that she's been wrongfully terminated based on her gender. Okay. She brings two claims in state court. She wants to be in state court for some reason. Title VII claim. Federal claim. But the state also has a parallel statute that forbids this similar discrimination. So she brings a state law claim as well, based on state discrimination. Can the defendant remove that case to federal court?
The federal court has a civil law jurisdiction on 1567.
Okay, where did you look? What is important? Okay, what you see. Very good. Thank you. Okay. Whenever a separate and an independent claim or cause of action within the jurisdiction conferred by Section 1331 is what? Rising under. I always write next to it. I still do it to this day. I circle it or I put an arrow and I say rising under. So whenever a claim under an arising under claim is joined with one or more otherwise non-removable claims, what does that mean? Otherwise non-removable claims, Chris?
It means that not proper.
Right. So there's no arising under over the claim. There's no diversity under the claim. Right. Okay. Let me turn the page. Says the entire case may be removed, and the district court may determine all issues therein, or, in its discretion, may remand all matters in which state law predominates. Okay. You said something about 1367, Chris. Yeah, why did you bring up 1367? Sorry, sometimes I'm like thinking I'm having like a conversation with you and I'm sorry. I understand that it's confusing. Go ahead.
1367 is a civil jurisdiction in the United States. It states all actions that can be taken by five to an original jurisdiction case. So it's basically saying if the federal court has civil level jurisdiction, then you can do that. But so I'm saying that it's okay under 1367. So it's a limited jurisdiction and as such, it's a public hearing.
Okay. So, does everyone see that tie-in with 1367? Grace is shaking her head. Mia is shaking her head. Okay. 1441 is saying that where there's a federal claim that's brought in state court, or there's a rising under jurisdiction, and it's joined with a purely state law claim, that the entire case may be removed. Okay? You still have to look at 1367, don't you, Chris? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. You still have to look at 1367. Because 1367 says that the district court can only have supplemental jurisdiction over claims that are so related that form the same case or controversy. So they still have to be so related that they form the same case or controversy. Okay. And if they do, then on 1367A, the district court can exercise supplemental jurisdiction. What about if, let me change the facts a little bit. What about if in the state, a plaintiff brings a state law claim against a diverse defendant, the amount in controversy is greater than $75,000, but the plaintiff still chooses to bring it in state court because she likes the judge. The judge is the state court. And then she joins another, because she has two claims. Both are state law claims, but the second claim doesn't meet the amount in controversy requirement. Okay? Second claim is for $15,000, it says. Can the entire case be removed? Sheil?
So it would
Okay, first of all, the diversity of citizenship requirement isn't destroyed because the plaintiff and the defendants are diverse. There's two claims that are being joined. One plaintiff, one defendant, two claims are being joined. One meets the diversity amount and controversy requirement, one doesn't. They're diverse citizens. The plaintiff chooses to file in state court. My question was, can the action be removed to federal court? So where does your analysis start? Does it start with 1367 or does it start with 1441? 1441, because that's the removal statute. Okay. Would 1441 allow the defendant to remove the entire case, both claims, to federal court? Mia?
Yes.
Okay. Let's figure out why you're saying yes.
Part C.
Okay. And what did we just say that Part C says?
That claims that are joined, if one of those claims is has original jurisdiction on the other one, or could be removed, and the other one couldn't be removed, then the entire case could be removed.
Okay. You're close, but not right on. And this is why it's important to critically read these statutes. 1441C, Mia, says that whenever there's a claim based on 1331, which is what? Arising under. 1441C doesn't say whenever there's a claim that the district courts have original jurisdiction over, does it? No, that would include both. It just says arising under. And it's joined with a purely state law claim that the entire case may be removed. So let me ask you this question again. When the federal claim is, I'm sorry, when the claim, when there's one claim that's based on diversity and the amount of controversy requirement is met, and then the second claim, the amount of controversy is not met, can the entire case be removed? Okay, I just told you it's a purely state law claim. So can it be removed? No. Okay. You're right. Okay. Yeah.
Can the district judge just remove the one claim and leave the second one that's insufficient in state court?
It can't be removed, period. The removal is not proper of the entire case. So that claim never even appears in federal court. Okay.
The defendant can't just remove the one that is sufficient, and that's to leave the second one. That's sufficient.
Well, they're joined together. The plaintiff is the master of the complaint. The plaintiff brought the two claims. So let's see how this would happen. The defendant would not be able to remove the entire case. We know that for sure. Okay. So the question is, can the defendant move the one claim? And I'm going to say no. The entire case may be removed. Yeah, all right.
So are you saying that anytime this is a diversity case that would have been supplemental jurisdiction, not original jurisdiction, it can't be used? It can't be removed?
Right.
Meaning not arising under. Are we saying that supplemental jurisdiction can only be used for arising under 1441?
No. We're talking about whether removal is proper.
Right.
Okay.
So under 1441C.
Yeah. You don't even need to look at 1367 yet. You have to always start with 1441 with these removal cases. Okay. So under 1441C, Congress has specifically chosen to only allow the removal. Okay. That's just the movement from state court to federal court. That's all it is, the movement from, okay, of the entire case. If one is based on arising under, one claim is based on arising under, then the entire case can be removed. Whether the district court can exercise supplemental jurisdiction over those claims is a separate section once the action is removed to federal court. Okay? Okay, Yitzhak, back to your question. And the reason I say no to the question is this. plaintiff would be forced to litigate in both state and federal court, right? But the defendant doesn't have that right to do that. The defendant's not the master. The defendant can only use 1441 to remove the case and the claims therein. But the plaintiff is the master of the complaint and has joined two claims against one defendant, and unfortunately the defendant is stuck in state court.
But then aren't we afraid that every time the plaintiff just doesn't want removal, he's just going to hope to take state claim that doesn't meet the diversity requirements to bar the defendant from using the removal option?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested in see if there's case law out there that there's fraudulent joinder of claims, too. Not just fraudulent joinder of parties.
It would seem pretty simple. You just bring, like, a 5 cents state claim.
Well, that, I mean, and that would be a very obviously fraudulent. Yeah. And if I were the defendant, I would ask the federal court to disregard that claim. I'm not saying that there's not a way around it, okay? But what I'm saying is, and when it's legitimate, I mean, that would be the result. The answer would be no. But if you're representing the defendant as an attorney, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to get there. Okay? Let's do some examples. Okay. A is a... he's from New Jersey. B is from New York. A sues B in New York State Court. Okay, I think this comes from the book. First claim is federal challenge to a landmark designation. And the second claim is the state challenge based on the same designation. Okay? So you have a federal claim and a state claim. Can B remove the entire case to federal court? What's one of the issues that's popping out of you right now? Frank, you're shaking your head, yeah.
Go on. Well, the issue of the New York, but that's really only Ross for diversity, so it's
okay.
The Ross context.
Very good. Okay, here's one issue right here. B is a citizen of New York, and plaintiff chose New York as a forum. But that doesn't matter, right? Because when there's an arising under claim, the case can be removed without regard to the citizenship of the parties. It doesn't matter that B is a citizen of the forum state. Okay, very good. What's the other issue? What's the real issue? Brian.
Whether the district court would have original jurisdiction over the case, and because it's...
Wait. Let's restate that issue. Whether the what? Whether the district court...
had original jurisdiction over the case had been brought to the case.
Okay, very good. That's the starting point, right? Okay, so would it have?
It's a federal issue arising under, and the second claim is still related to the state part. It's federal law.
Yeah, okay, so let's just, we're not getting to 1367 just yet.
Okay.
All right. So this is original, district court has original jurisdiction over this, right? Okay, so this is the rising under. You already said that. The question is, can the entire case be removed to the federal court when there's also a state challenge?
Don't you look at 1367?
No. We're not done with 1441C yet. Yeah.
Isn't this 1441C where because it's arising under that all of the, even if it's still a non-removable thing, that the entire case can be removed?
Yes, you're right. under 1441C, whenever a separate and independent claim or cause of action within the jurisdiction conferred by 1331, so that's the federal arising under claim, is joined with one or more otherwise non-removable claims. So this state challenge is not removable. Okay? This one right here. The whole case may be removed to federal court. There is no relationship requirement in 1441C, is there? I mean, for all we care, it could be, I mean, settle it six claims, related and unrelated. 1441 just says that if there's an arising under claim, then all claims can be, the whole case can be removed to federal court. Does everyone see that? We're not going to 1367 yet, right? I just don't want you to jump there before you need to go there. Okay? All right, but now that we're there, you have to take it one step further, right? Because now that you removed it, you've actually physically moved the case from the docket of the state court to the docket of the federal court. Okay? So, what's your issue now? Once you're in federal court and the district court has all these claims on its docket.
Whether or not the district court can remove
the supplemental claim, supplemental jurisdiction. Okay. Okay. Now that the entire case has been moved to federal court, it's now sitting on the court's docket. That's what removal does. It's purely a procedural thing. You file a notice of removal in the federal court. It suspends the docket in state court, and the action is docketed on the federal court. Okay? There are all kinds of litigation to try to get the remanded and blah, 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 blah. But anyway, once it's on the federal court's docket, the other issue arises, well, you have all these claims here. Does the district court have jurisdiction over these supplemental claims? So that's when you would go into your supplemental jurisdiction analysis. Okay? Okay. And you'd really only have to look at 1367A, right? Why is that? Right.
Because it so relates to the same case of controversy.
No, it's not why. Frank. Okay, so rising under. You're only ever going to have to look at 1367A because 1367A deals with arising under and diversity, but you don't have to go to 1367B with diversity, right? So 1367A will resolve this issue because the only time under the 1441C that the whole case can be removed is if there's arising under. So what's the only question you have to ask yourself under 1367A, Brian?
Whether or not it's arising under?
No, you said it already.
Okay, so like what I was talking before, I was talking about the state claim, whether or not they'd be allowed to keep that as the, and that's when you look at whether or not it relates to the same case.
Yes, yes.
That's what I was talking about.
No, but what you were right, but you were jumping one question ahead of me. So I think it's absolutely critical that you listen to the question and respond to the question instead of thinking about what's coming next. Because on an exam or on a memo, it's important to read the question and actually be responsive to the question that's being asked. Okay? Okay. Greg. Removed more than once? From where to where? Like if it's removed from state court to federal court to back to state court? Okay. So it's not going to be removable at that point. Let's talk about that for 1 second. Yes. Okay, so what happens is the term is called removal when it moves from state court to federal court. Say, Greg, you and I are attorneys and we're litigating. I file in state court, you remove it to federal court. I'm like, uh-uh. You know, this doesn't belong in federal court. The requirements of 1441 aren't met. Or you messed up on procedure or something. What I file is a motion to remand. Okay, so remand refers to the movement of the case from federal court back to state court. Okay. If the court decides that the case is properly removed to the federal court, and the defendant wants to move it to another federal district, it's not called removal anymore. It's called transfer. It's called venue transfer. Jill.
With the diversity, requirements for this, if one of the claims isn't diverse, if it doesn't meet the non-controversy, it automatically can't be removed. So I'm a little confused about if the claim, if one claim is diverse and meets the non-controversy, the other is a state law claim and doesn't, that can be removed. But then when it's diverse, when can it, that can't be removed. When it's diverse, when can it? I'm just a little confused because of what it says would be. 1367C.
Okay. We're not talking about
1441.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. 1441. Okay. Let's go over some more examples. Okay. Everyone follow the analysis. Excuse me. Questions. That's it. No, it's not, because that's critical to know this. Okay? You're only going to look to 1441C when there are multiple claims. Okay? Okay. 1441C just tells us simply that if there's one, at least one arising under claim, then all the claims can be removed to federal court. And then you only have to look at 1367A just to make sure, to answer the question, does the district court have supplemental jurisdiction over the additional claims? Are they so related to the arising under claim that they form the same case or controversy? Okay?
So it seems like if there's a bunch of qualifying
Not necessarily. I mean, I can change the facts a little bit. I mean, let's just say, like, what if the third claim is completely unrelated? I'm really going to throw you guys for a loop here. Completely unrelated claim, okay? And the amount of controversy is $100,000. Jessica, can the entire case be removed?
It can be removed because the one arising under claim, and then you would go to 1367A to see if it would have a supplemental jurisdiction, and then the unrelated claim would be
removed. If you remove based on 1341C, do you even need to establish supplemental jurisdiction, or can the entire...
Whoa. Let's do one question at a time. And I know you guys all have all kinds of questions, but I want to resolve this before we move on to that question, okay? Are you raising your hand to help out with this problem? Okay. Shoot.
First claim is
okay.
Second claim is...
No. There's no connection, so related test in 1441, is there? Okay, well, let's talk about whether it can be removed first. Okay? Because that's what we're talking about today, is removal. That's going to be first, the first step of the analysis. And I'm sorry I'm being forceful, but when you see this on the exam, I don't want you to jump into 1367A if the question says, can this case be removed? Okay? Matthew, do you want to start over and try to do the 1441 analysis?
Okay, so first claim can be heard in federal court, this is federal.
Okay.
Second claim.
Well, it's arising under, so we're looking at which section of the statute? Okay. Well, what is 1341C say, simply? Okay, is this claim non-removable? Otherwise non-removable?
Yes.
Why? Okay, let's say the amount in controversy is also $100,000. Why not? What? Sorry. Why? Okay, Brian, is this otherwise removable?
I don't think it would be considered that it's from New York and it's done in New York State Court.
Okay, I agree. What about this one? Same thing, right? Not in controversy requirements met, but they're diverse, but it's not removable because B is a citizen of New York. Okay, so it can be removed, right? Okay. That ends the 1441C analysis. What's next, Brian?
It's 1367A, whether or not it's a lodging under. Whether it's so related, if you look at whether or not it's the first issue, yeah, it's a 2000.
Okay, well, what does 1367A say? Let's look at that again. Now that we're here and now that we've added some complicating factors. Okay. In any civil action of which the district courts have original jurisdiction, so is there original jurisdiction here?
Yes.
Based on what?
Based on the federal law.
Okay, very good. We know from case law that it only has to be one claim. Okay. The district courts shall have supplemental jurisdiction over all other claims that are so related that they form the same part of the case, same case of controversy. Okay. Now, does this form the same case or controversy? Yes. Does this? No. Okay, so no, it can be removed, but only one of them the court has supplemental jurisdiction over, the other one the court doesn't. Okay, hold on 1 second, I'm not done. Do we have to look at 1367B? Because this right here, it seems kind of like a non-arising under kind of diversity case. Chris, no, you're shaking your head no.
Looking at 1357B only applies to personal jurisdiction and you
We're already in federal court, so my question isn't whether this can be removed. My question is, we've determined under 1367A that it's proper for the district court to have supplemental jurisdiction. Do we need now to look at 1367B? Because it seems to be a diversity case. There's like A versus B, New Jersey, New York, and it's a map controversy of $100,000. Sheil.
The defendant cannot move from if it's already sitting in state court, federal court, under diversity.
Okay, what was my question, Sheil?
Can you remove that from federal court?
No, that wasn't my question. What was my question, Ari?
You asked if this state challenge would be remanded because it's diversity, but the anchor claim is a federal question. So the supplemental jurisdiction would apply.
Okay. Aaron, were you going to add to the conversation? Do you have a separate question?
I was going to add to
go ahead.
Since the state challenge isn't based solely on diversity because it's like the arising under, then it would be allowed.
Okay. You don't have to look at 1367B. Ari and Aaron are both right. Your anchor claim here is arising under, okay? So 1367A is the end of the story. You only go to look at 1367B when it involves a case based on diversity only, solely on Section 1332, okay? you never really have to go to 1367B in a case that has been removed to federal court, right? Because it's always going to be removed. The whole entire case will always be removed because there's an arising under claim that allows the whole case to be removed under 1441C. Okay? Greg. Let's phrase your question. I think I know what you're asking, but it's phrased improperly. We already determined that the three could be removed, first of all. Right? Okay. Very good point. If this were the only claim, okay? If three were the only claim, and B was from New York, and New York, it was filed in New York, it couldn't be removed because B is a citizen of the forum state.
Right.
Okay, but we're not dealing with that here. We're dealing with an arising under claim with some other claims joined. And we have to look at 1441C. And 1441C says that when there's a federal arising under claim, all of the claims that are otherwise unremovable can be removed to federal court. Shield.
So when you kind of determine whether B or C apply, you only look at the name.
Whether B or C apply. C applies when there's multiple claims.
But, well, like, let's say for a concern arising under jurisdiction, right? 1441C?
Yes.
So to determine whether the claim is arising under, you only look to the original anchor claim? So you, in this case,
you have to find one claim. I don't care if it's listed first or last. You have to identify the arising under claim that's going to get your hook in the federal court. Okay? Your diversity can also be a hook into federal court. It's just you're not going to be able to remove the whole case to federal court. Let me do a different example, okay?
I was going to say three is removed but has to be remanded, right?
Exactly, because there's no supplemental jurisdiction over it because it's unrelated. Right. So the plaintiff will have to pursue that and will have to make a decision. And say, it actually is not remanded. It's dismissed. Okay? Dismissed. That's the proper procedure. The plaintiff will have to decide whether to refile in state court to pursue this unrelated claim separately. Okay, if it's for $100,000, I imagine that he or she will. Yes, Greg. Last question before we take our break. Absolutely. They absolutely have an interest in efficiency, and Congress is evidencing an interest in efficiency here, right? By saying as long as there's this arising under claim, we can remove them all to federal court. But efficiency does not control jurisdiction. Okay? Just because the federal rules allow all these claims to be pled and joined together in all these parties does not mean that the court is going to have jurisdiction over all of them. Okay? We know that jurisdiction is limited to those claims that are so related that form the same case or controversy.
So if it's removed to federal, does that mean it has to stay within that claim? It can't break off itself and say, oh, we have to now and this is a federal claim that can be adjudicated in federal court?
I'm not following your question.
So, do they all have...
Use this as an example.
So they're all removed together.
Yeah.
Three, because it wouldn't be able to be heard in the same suit because they're not...
Unrelated.
They're unrelated under 1367. The three, what I'm saying, is break off by itself and need to stay in federal court because that would be diversity.
Well...
Like, it could be removed.
Yeah, well, okay, so let's just say this. Okay. It's dismissed, right?
No, it's removed. It would be removed with everything else because it's arising under.
Right. So we know that's going to be removed, right? And you're asking, like, I'm trying to answer your question. We know they're all removed, and we know that the court cannot exercise supplemental jurisdiction over it. Well, actually, that's a good question. What about the fact that even though it's unrelated, it's $100,000 and they're divorced? Brian.
I was thinking the same thing. Once it's removed, isn't the issue of not whether or not the defendant's in the same state court? Isn't it just the issue of whether or not the district court would have had like jurisdiction over that issue?
Yes, yeah. This no longer becomes a concern because we already determined it's properly removable under 1441C. Right? So
can we stay if the court wants to keep it?
Well, I think yes. And hold on one second. Let's just work through this, and I want everyone to see it. Because I didn't see this before, and now I am seeing it. We know that had this claim been brought in state court by itself, it would not have been removable, right? Because B is a citizen of the forum state. This is where I guess the plaintiff kind of, or the defendant kind of lucked out, whatever way you want to look at it. But anyway, but because it's joined with an arising under claim, the defendant can remove all of them to federal court. Okay? But once you get to federal court, this doesn't matter anymore. Okay? Because the federal court has diversity jurisdiction all by itself over this claim, because it's over $75,000 and diversity of citizenship. Okay? So it can hear all of it. It wouldn't even, you wouldn't even really need to look at supplemental jurisdiction because it has, you have to do it because it's the analysis, but, and you get there either way. Like, you get there the same way. You just have to look at it. It can be brought, yeah, absolutely. If I changed this and made it $70,000, does everyone see how that makes a difference? It can still be removed, but the district court doesn't have supplemental jurisdiction over it because it's unrelated and there's no independent basis for jurisdiction.
Okay, I'm getting a little confused here going back to 1367. So the original situation, you can't remove this over here because of what we said, you don't have...
You can remove all three.
All three, but they can't exercise jurisdiction over this because it's unrelated. Is that what we said?
Under this situation, under the original situation, they can. Because even though it's unrelated, it has its own independent federal jurisdictional basis. It can stand on its own or together with something else because it can survive on its own in federal court. The diversity of jurisdiction, the diversity of citizenship, and amount of controversy has been met.
But if that's standing alone, don't we have the problem that it's a New York defendant removing it from a New York court?
Okay, let's take a 10-minute break, and I'll go back. I will recap this analysis for you, and then we'll move on to the next problem. Okay, why don't you come up now and talk about it?
Sorry, I got to tell you, James.
You have to separate 1441 from 1367. You have to do it mechanically.
Correct. Well, no, I understood. Here's where I was at. The original situation of going on the 1441, right?
Yes. Yes, it can.
Even though it's an independent case, they still have jurisdiction. So it's unrelated. I thought you could only approve 1441.
No, because 1441 says nothing about being related.
Oh,
in fact, it actually says a separate and independent claim. So, if you look at 1441, nothing about any of these things being related in order to remove it. Okay?
Anything that falls under 1367.
Yes.
Okay.
If it wasn't otherwise excluded from 1357B. Right? Okay. No, because I thought that they said that it wasn't like renewables is different. And that's what I keep trying to tell you about. I asked you if you have one diversity, one meets this amount of controversy and the other doesn't. The question is it the whole thing removable?
So it's only when there's separate
Well, yeah, you're not going to be able to remove that situation because you need the federal arising under jurisdiction to remove all the claims, and you only have that jurisdiction. So the one that doesn't need to not federal is not even going to get to federal court. Okay, so
if the plaintiff that
brought it in federal court in the first place, then all you look at is 1357. Okay. That's why it's critical to keep the context clear.
Okay.
You can remove it from 1341C that you don't want to get into federal court. You now look at 1367 to see if it's up. This drops out and doesn't have common obvious common effects.
At first glance, yes, it drops out and it doesn't have commonality properties. I mean,
you can bring it independently.
Right, it can stand on its own without even looking at it.
Why would it ever come to getting a simple question? You see, this one that wants it in the state court, it doesn't want it in federal court. Why would it matter if it's not there? It doesn't want to file it as in federal court. What's about the state? That's what we were looking at originally in the context of federal court. So you wouldn't have that. Why would the plaintiff now file it in federal court as an independent claim? He doesn't want to be there. But if he had wanted to, it could have been. That was the question.
I'm not following you. The plaintiff filed in state court, and the defendant is removable. Okay, so.
But now this is an independent claim, so it'd be on the decision.
So it's not broken off. It's not broken off.
Even though it doesn't make sense.
If the plaintiff had filed separately, you couldn't remove.
Okay, but now that they're together, remove, even though technically you could have removed it separately. Now, once you're in, you're independent basis.
But if you're the plaintiff's attorney, what do you learn from that letter?
Don't do this again.
Well, think about it. When you're under a claim with your federal and state challenge, if you think the defendant's going to renew, think about it. Or this is the other option. You look at 1441C, the entire case will be renewed, and the district will be done all extraordinary and toward discretion may remand all matters in the state law predominant. So I would be arguing as a plaintiff to keep this here. I chose state. I am the master of my complaint. I chose state form. Don't let the defendant circumvent that. Keep it here. Just keep the first two. Okay? Okay. Aaron. Okay. Let's get started. I want to recap the analysis up front real quick for everyone. Make sure everyone is clear as to how the analysis goes. Some of you are jumping straight to 1367. Sorry that this kind of got a little messy. When the plaintiff brings an action in state court and the defendant tries to remove it, you're going to look at 1441. First step, 1441. Okay? I think the next step that you're going to have to do is look at whether or not there is just one claim or more claims. Right? Assume there is one claim. Can this be removed? Yes. Why isn't B's citizenship a problem? Okay.
Is it because the claim is federal question, not the question?
Okay, because 1441B said it, right? As adversity, the citizenship of the parties does not matter if the claim is arising under. Okay. What if change this, and this was a diversity case, state law claim, $80,000. Can this case be removed? Sheil?
No.
No. Okay, why not?
Because the majority sits in the same state as the...
Okay, because 1441B says that the defendant cannot remove it if any one of them resides or is a citizen of the forum state. Okay? Now, let's put my original... example back up on the board. So we have the federal challenge. I'm just going to federal challenge, state challenge, and then we have the unrelated claim. Unrelated state law claim. Okay, and okay. When you see multiple claims, you should automatically think of 1441C. Right? What's the next thing you're looking for? Yeah, you're looking for your arising under claim. Okay, here it is. And once you've found your arising under claim, you can remove all of those claims. Okay? It just gets your case onto the federal court docket. Okay? It doesn't matter that this claim or this claim, if brought by themselves, could not be removable under 1441B. Right? Because 1441C specifically says if you have your arising under a claim, and that's joined with one or more otherwise non-removable claims, we know that they would otherwise be non-removable. The whole thing can be removed. Okay. All right. So, unfair, right? Because Ms. Jack was saying, well, 1441B says that if you're a resident of the same foreign state, then B says you can't remove it, but under C, you're removing it anyway. But that's because Congress said if you have an arising under claim, we'll take it off. Okay? All right. So, once you've removed it all, you need to look at 1367 to see if the district court has jurisdiction over them all. So, 1367A. We know that this federal challenge and this state challenge are so related that they form the same case or controversy, right? So the district court will have supplemental jurisdiction over the state challenge that's so related that forms the same case for controversy. What about this unrelated state law claim? Okay. Very good. Thank you. Great way of putting it. It doesn't have supplemental jurisdiction because it's unrelated. But actually, it has original jurisdiction, which is better than supplemental jurisdiction, isn't it? Because if the plaintiff had brought this case by itself in federal court, the same court would have jurisdiction over it. You see that? They're diverse. And the amount of controversy is over $75,000. I don't like this, people are saying. I don't like this because the plaintiff chose to be in state court. And if they had brought this claim independently in state court, the defendant would not have been able to remove it. But now it's been removed, and the district court has original jurisdiction over it, and the defendant wins because it gets all the claims in state court. It's not fair. Sorry, I don't know your name off the top of my head. John.
Yes.
What would you do, and at what stage? What would you argue to the district court, and at what stage, to try to keep that unrelated state law claim in state court, even though it has original jurisdiction in federal court?
I would say that the district court has discretion over all claims that are 1441C.
Very good.
Not related to the arising under.
Okay, very good. If you look at 1441C, it says that the district court, the defendant can remove all the claims to district court, but the district court, in its discretion, may remand all matters in which state law predominates. Okay? If I'm the plaintiff, I'm going to say, hey, judge, this is a predominantly state law claim. It's completely unrelated to the federal and state law challenge. Take these two, but leave me this one. I chose state form. Leave me this one in state court. Let me pursue it in state court. Okay? And you check, I would make the argument. They're just circumventing this removal requirement. I would make all those, let's pull out all the stops. Because we have to remember here that the plaintiff once wanted state court to begin with. Okay? Okay. Just because a federal district court has original jurisdiction over a claim doesn't mean that it has to be brought in federal court. Plaintiff gets to choose the form. Okay, and then the removal gives the defendant a tool to get to federal court, but it's not absolute. As we see in 1441C, there's some discretion. Okay. Let's do another example. Okay. We still have A and B. A is from New Jersey. B is from New York. And we're still suing in New York State Court. Okay? Okay. This time we have... A State Court claim... for $76,000. Okay. Why do I put $76,000? are
more than 75.
After non-controversy, has to exceed $75,000. Okay. And then you have another claim, another tort claim, that this is that right here.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm getting my own example wrong. Okay. I'm like trying to read my handwriting here. We have B, right, in New York. And we have C in Connecticut. Okay. B and C. Is that confusing? You guys understand that? There are two defendants. A is in B and C. B is from New York. B is from Connecticut. Okay. A, B, and C. Okay. All right. This tort claim is for $35,000. Can C remove to federal court in New York? That's my first question.
No.
No, why not?
Because there are multiple claims.
Yeah.
We have 1441C. There is no arising in our jurisdiction, and therefore one would not bother.
Okay. That's good. But why else?
Okay.
Why not the defendant, the citizen of New York?
Yeah. Okay, that's where I would go first.
Yeah.
Really. Okay. That's where I would go first, Ken. Thank you. 1441B says that in a diversity case, if any of the defendants are citizens or residents of the forum state, it cannot be removed. Okay? I would go there first. Before even gets the multiple claim issue. Yes, Jill.
If A was from New York and B was from New Jersey, could you then bring it?
Okay.
Is it just the defendants or is it all the parties?
Okay, why don't you tell me, Jill?
Well, you said all the parties, but then
Did I say all the parties?
As the defendants.
Any of the defendants. Okay. It says any of the defendants.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. I misspoke. 1441B says if any of the defendants.
So the claim is still doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it does not matter. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if the plaintiff changed the forum to New Jersey, I mean, she would have set herself up for it to be removed. No questions asked. Okay. All right. Now. And that was my next question. The plaintiff changed the state venue to New Jersey State Court. Can C remove? And the answer would be yes. Okay. All right. Yes.
So the answer to the first question of whether or not C can remove the case, it's no, but isn't it the two reasons for B and then for C based on what was said on for both reasons?
Yes, and that's going to be my next question.
Oh.
Okay. So, but I think that the first place you need to go is 1441B. Which specifically says that a case can only be removed if none of the defendants are citizens of the forum state. Okay? And then you'll go your multiple claim thing. But you know right off the bat that it can't be removed. So why go to multiple claims? Why even trouble your brain with it? You know what I'm saying? Like, why even trouble your brain with working through 1441C if you know the easiest resolution of this issue is 1441B. The defendant is a citizen of the forum state and can't be removed, period. Matthew.
This is kind of a little common thing in 1441B. What's the purpose of the defense clause?
Oh, it's the citizen.
It's got a, why can't he remove it to the federal court if they live in the state? What's the reason for that?
What is the reason for it? Correct.
Just policy. You're just saying there, the defendants report all the protections since this is
state that did one state lies and what protected
Sarah, is that what you were going to say? Sarah? Were you going to say that? Okay. Chris Taylor, the lawyer. It's a policy issue. And
it's a policy issue. They're saying you should afford defendants as much protection as you can. As if it's already in their home state, they get out of court for policy bias. Then we should put a federal law that's simply by getting defendants as protection. They've already received it. Okay.
It is a purely policy issue. And when we get to Erie, too, we're going to talk about more of that. Okay? All right.
They need to agree if it's going to be removed, right? The two defendants?
Good question. They need to be to agree. Jason, you're shaking your head yes. Why do you want me to say yes?
Well, the language is maybe removed by the defendant or defendants. That leads to it, and I also think I was right in the line of book.
Okay. Brian?
I was writing down on the board, if they remove it, they remove both claims to the federal court, then they see whether or not they're going to keep both claims, or do they just pick the first one?
Well, I thought you were going to... We're still on the one question. You're one step ahead of me still, okay? All right, let's answer this other question first. Do the defendants have to agree to remove? The literal language of the statute is no. I mean, it doesn't say if only all defendants agree. It says the defendant or defendants. So Glannon, you're saying that Glannon reads that to mean that when there are multiple defendants, both defendants have to remove? Is that what you're saying, Stephanie? Okay. I have to look at it more closely, but I read it as only one can choose to remove. But I don't know for sure. And that's the plain and honest truth. I need to look it up.
So Stephanie? I'm taking your words of the Glannon.
I'll look it up. Don't worry. I'll look it up. But, I mean, if you're saying it, it's in Glannon, and it's very simple to do a little bit of a research on this. I think that one can decide without the other based on the literal language of the statute. It doesn't say, I mean, when you look at it, it says any, hold on, this is why you have to have your books with you at all times. Thanks. By the defendant or the defendants. So, I mean, I can read it both ways. Separately, I can read it both ways, unfortunately. I had to look at it more closely. Do you have your Glannon book with you? Okay, let me know if you find it. Okay. And then I'll get back to you and give you a resolution. Okay? But whether or not they agree, does it matter in this situation?
Yep.
No. Okay. And I can promise you that I'm not going to make removal hinge upon the defendant's agreement. So, okay? Okay. So that eases everyone's concerns for exams. But I am curious to know whether in actuality it's right or not. So it doesn't matter for this purpose because... B is a resident of the forum state. Okay. Now, Brian, getting back to what you were just saying. You don't even need to go to the multiple claims here because it can't be removed, period. But let's just change the facts and make it removable. Say plaintiff sues in New Jersey State Court. Is it removable by C? And B together if they so decide to agree. Aaron. Okay. We're going to go to 1441C. Is that where you're going to go? Okay, but I've just cured the residency, the citizenship problem, though, right? Okay, so that's no longer an issue. Does everyone see how I just cured the citizenship problem? Okay, so now we're going to 1441C because there's two claims. Okay. Go ahead, Aaron.
Well, the first claim
Okay. Diversity not arising under. And why is that significant?
Because
1341C would permit removal of all the claims only if... Right, and it's not here. Exactly. Right, right. If I change this... Sorry. If I change this to $76,000, we have diversity here too, right? The second claim has to be otherwise non-removable. Right? Does everyone see that difference? I mean, if both claims are proper diversity, then you're going to be able to remove both of them.
The first one, the whole thing is diverse, but because the first one is only diversity, if you're able to remove the second one, it doesn't originally need it.
No. No, then none of it can be removed. Right? Under my original my original monetary figure was, I can't remember how much it was.
76 and 35.
Okay, $35,000. You have your original jurisdiction claim is based on diversity here. Right? 1441C says that the whole case can be removed only if there's an arising under claim. And there is not. So it's not going to be removed. So plaintiff wins and gets her choice of forum. That's what this is about, isn't it, right? The plaintiff drafted the lawsuit, knew that she could be in federal court, but chose New Jersey State Court. And under the results here, she won. She gets to stay in state court. Okay? Let's think about the reasons, like... Yeah, the plaintiff, for some reason, chose to be in New Jersey State Court, and she's going to win now. Okay? She'll stay. Mia.
So just so that's clear, the defendants cannot remove even just the first claim solely based on diversity.
No. They get, like, separated out?
Yes.
No. We're giving deference here to the plaintiff's choice of forum, aren't we?
Even if you have changed the second one to 76K,
yes.
Even if it was diversity, because it doesn't meet the 1441C requirement, which says that only under federal right, arising under jurisdiction, you can remove it, and this is diversity, you cannot remove it.
Would this be, so Grace, this would be also removable, right? The whole thing would be removable, right?
Not removable.
It would be. If I change the amount of controversy to $76,000, the district court has original jurisdiction over both claims. Both claims could have independently been brought in federal court. Therefore, both of them can be removed.
Under which? Under 1441C?
Oh, God, I'm getting so confused, you guys. I'm so sorry. Okay. Step back. Okay. All right. Let's start with my original hypothetical. Okay. I apologize. I'm getting mixing up my hypos. Okay. So we know that this cannot be removed, right? Because 1441C, whenever a separate and independent claim or cause of action within the jurisdiction conferred by 1331 arising under is joined with one or more otherwise non-removable claims, the entire case may be removed. And so there's no arising under claim, therefore the entire case cannot be removed, period. Okay. Now, let's change my hypothetical again. I apologize. Hold on a second. Okay. Can the entire case be removed? Chris?
There is no independent non-removable claim, so we need to look at C. Since they're both diversity, both are original jurisdiction. Yes.
Okay. Brian?
Sure. There's another question to that. I
Just to say, for example, if the second claim was, say, was that didn't meet the non-controversy that was related to the first claim, they wouldn't have been able to remove it because they wouldn't have original jurisdiction. They would only have to kind of do the supplemental jurisdiction over the second claim. You have to have original jurisdiction over the entire claim, not original and supplemental.
Okay. Well, let's step back for 1 second. Chris is absolutely correct, okay, that if you change the facts, the district court has original diversity jurisdiction over both of them, and the whole thing can be removed. Okay, the same would be said if these were two federal claims instead of two diversity claims, right? Right. So there's no issue here. There's original jurisdiction over both, whether they're both diversity or both federal question. Okay. Now, Brian, you're going back to my original example.
Yes.
Okay. 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 Go ahead.
Another question now. If the second one was, say, related to the first claim, so technically, if you were a district court, they would not be able to get supplemental jurisdiction over that. But in this situation...
Oh, okay, let's not go there because, that's a whole... I mean, we can if you want to, but that's something that we... That's another problem that we... Actually, the identical problem we talked about last week. So, is your question about supplemental jurisdiction or removal?
It's removal.
Okay.
I want to know whether or not if the second claim is related to the first claim, they wouldn't have, they wouldn't have original jurisdiction over the entire claim. Is that correct?
Even if it's okay. 14, does 14.1C, 4B, or A have a relatedness requirement?
No.
No.
Just you need original jurisdiction. Or issue.
You need the court to have original jurisdiction, so it's either arising under or diversity. Right? There's no relatedness inquiry under 1441. Okay, so...
So I just want to make sure that
if
the second claim is related, it doesn't matter because they
would
have original jurisdiction and
they can't remove it. Well, even if this was so related to this,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
Because 1440C only permits removal of otherwise non-removable causes of action when the anchor claim is based on arising under.
You can't pick and choose which one you do for A.
What do you mean?
The first one is right. We have original jurisdiction over the first one, so we can bring the second one too because we have supplemental jurisdiction. You can't do that because they don't have original jurisdiction over the second one.
I don't understand the picking thing. There's only one case here that has original jurisdiction. This is this one. There's diversity, and the amount of controversy is over $76,000. Chris, let me work through this with him, okay? Go ahead.
I think I understand it. It's just because you need original jurisdiction, and if you have, under that, you don't have original jurisdiction in that case.
Yes, you do. You do have original jurisdiction over this claim.
The first one, not both of them.
Right, but we already learned from the ExxonMobil case that cause of action, in order for a district court to have original jurisdiction in the cause of action, it just has to be over one claim. Okay? So in this cause of action... The district court has original jurisdiction over this claim.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the second one. So since there's not, so then they don't have the, technically the district court doesn't have original jurisdiction to remove it. The whole
1441C says that the whole case can be removed only if the first one is arising under. Here, it's diversity. So therefore, this non-removable claim
stops
the whole case from being removed.
Okay. I'm talking about A. I know there's no...
What about A? What do you mean for A?
I'm just trying to make sure the original jurisdiction versus,
we're not looking at 1367A right now, Brian.
Okay.
Does everyone see that why we're not looking at 1367A right now? It doesn't matter if they're related or unrelated for removal purposes. In fact, 1441C makes it sound the exact opposite, wherever a separate and independent claim is joined with an otherwise non-removable claim. I mean, you can make an argument that it's, they're not even saying that there's a related requirement. Okay? Awesome. No. It's removable. If both cases satisfy diversity jurisdiction, the district court has original jurisdiction over both claims. It's original. Okay? So, you only get into an issue when of whether a second claim is removable or not is if it doesn't have its own independent basis of jurisdiction. Okay? Okay, so these would both be removable if they were two federal claims, federal and federal. They would both be removable. It's only when you have a claim that the court has original jurisdiction over joined with a claim that it doesn't have one over. And the only instance that the whole case can be removed is if the first case or the anchor claim, so to speak, is arising under. Okay, Jessica. Okay. Okay. Unrelated. Okay, how much? Discretion to.
So then it can look at the unrelated state claim,
No, there always has to be jurisdiction. Okay, this removal statute is a procedural statute. 1367A governs constitutional and statutory jurisdiction over supplemental claim. Okay, so you still have to look at whether the district court has jurisdiction over this supplemental claim under 1367A.
Alright, so when it says.
No. The entire case may be removed, okay? And the district court may determine all issues therein, period. Let's just stop there, okay? So the case has been removed. It's now in federal court. If you're the federal court judge, Jessica, do you still have an independent obligation to assess your jurisdiction over the state law claim? Do you?
No.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Yes, you absolutely do. Jurisdiction is constitutional inquiry, right? Whether the court has subject matter jurisdiction over the case. So the court will always have a duty to inquire as to its own subject matter jurisdiction. And this is when the court will look at 1367. Okay, so let's walk through the 1367 analysis.
I got it now. Just your red light.
It's never going to circumvent the constitutional inquiry one of the note cases in your book, City of Chicago versus International College of Surgeons, says that as much. Okay.
Okay. So
this
purpose is to get the court defendant to be authorized to understand the court, right?
Well, yeah. mean, you when you're litigating these things and you're faced with a state court litigation and you want to remove it, that's what you're going to have to go through the removal statute and see what's likely going to happen and weigh your options. Do you want to remove or do you not want to remove? Okay, so what's going to happen? In fact, what's going to happen? We know it gets removed, right, under 1441C, so what's the next inquiry now? Does the court have supplemental jurisdiction over it? And SHIELD does it? No, because it doesn't meet 1316.7a's so related test. That's when you get to the relationship of claims. Okay? Okay.
Yeah. What happens if it's related to state claim and it does not have any supplemental jurisdiction, then what happens?
Okay, what happens? There's no supplemental jurisdiction. What happens? It gets dismissed. Okay. No, it doesn't get remanded. It gets dismissed. Because once the entire case is removed to the federal court, it's taken off the docket of the state court, and it's put on the docket of the federal court. And it's dismissed. Okay? And it's dismissed without prejudice so that the plaintiff can refile in state court.
What about the 1441C when it says that the judge has the discretion to, the district court may determine whether or not he's going to remand it to the state court? When does that apply? Is it upon the
district court? Yeah, Grace is asking when does the discretion apply, okay, in 1441C. So in this situation, 1441C said that the whole case can be removed, but then it says that the district court, in its discretion, may remand all matters in which state law predominates. So, if I'm the plaintiff, I've picked the state forum, I want to litigate in state court, the defendant has removed, and 1441C is going to take it all. Okay, I'm going to argue to the judge, hey judge, keep this one in state court, because even if it gets removed to federal court, they're not going to have supplemental jurisdiction over it, and state law predominates. So why remove it in the first place? Keep it here. It's my choice of form. I want it here. Keep it here. There's no sense in doing that. Does everyone see that? Yeah? Yes? No? Who doesn't see it? No, we're talking about the whole case can be removed. 1441 says the entire case may be removed. But then it says, or in the discretion, may remand all matters in which state law predominates. So the district court has the discretion to remand just the unrelated state law claim if state law predominates. Okay? But the whole case can be removed, and if the plaintiff doesn't fight it, then it will get removed. But then the court, if the plaintiff doesn't say anything about jurisdiction, the court has a duty sua sponte to bring it up and then send it and dismiss it and then give the plaintiff the option to file and refile in state court. Chris.
So, in the court, it's a claim that the
under 1441, the proper thing that the court would do would be to remand the state law claim. It wouldn't dismiss it. It would remand it, okay? Because that's what 1441C says. If the district court, for some reason, takes the whole case and then subsequently learns that it doesn't have supplemental jurisdiction over this, it will have to dismiss it. Okay? But it'll be without prejudice for the state, for the plaintiff to refile. Without prejudice means that the plaintiff is still free to refile in state court. Okay. Sabine.
Well, just to be clear, in a diversity case that is removed to the federal court, there's basically no such thing as supplemental jurisdiction. All the claims have their own independence.
Okay. Yeah. And it, good. So in a diversity case that's removed, there really is no such thing as supplement of jurisdiction, is there? There isn't. So, I mean, you're absolutely right. Because the only time multiple claims can be removed for diversity of jurisdiction purposes is if they each have their own independent original jurisdiction basis. So there's no even subsequent supplemental inquiry. Very good. Any other questions? Okay. For Monday, I don't even know what to sign for reading for Monday, but we are going to cover Swift and Erie and start on... We're not going to get through all the material that was originally signed for today on Monday, obviously, because that would be covering 3 hours in a one-hour thing. So we're gonna cover Swift, we're gonna cover Erie, we'll go through Guarantee Trust, definitely. And that's probably... Okay. I'm not going to go through my books, but for Monday, we'll talk about Swift, Erie, and Guarantee Trust. Okay? And then I'll let you know on Monday what we're going to read for Wednesday. Because I'm going to give memos back on Wednesday.
What about claims and counterclaims? Do they count with the same type of...
Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Ari.
You want to remove it from the... We found out.